thank you for sharing with the kids and encouraging us too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for this morning, and we just acknowledge that we need your Holy Spirit to help us to be able to share your word in a way that it would prick our hearts and cause us to want to draw near to you. So I ask that you would do that. We need you, Lord. Amen. Okay, so I have a question for you this morning. And my question is, how does a person become defiled? How do we become defiled? And in my mind, there's a lot of different things that could defile us. Sometimes the things that we see, sometimes the things that we listen to. I think sometimes the company that we keep. But there's something different that I wanted to talk about. How do we become defiled? And it's in Hebrews chapter 12. It's a different way that we can become defiled. So if you turn to Hebrews 12, verse 12, it says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So, I'm not sure for how many of you, when I asked the question, how does a person become defiled, was this the first thing that came to mind? Bitterness. Through bitterness, we can become defiled. So, I definitely know the things that we see, the things that we hear. Be careful, right? Evil company can corrupt good character, can defile us. But what about bitterness? Was that the first thing that came to mind? It probably wasn't for me if I would have heard that question unless I'd been thinking about this passage. But this is a topic that's been on my heart for a few weeks that I think we need to be on guard of. And that is bitterness. How does bitterness start? What causes bitterness? Because we don't want to have bitterness, because it will defile us. If we are giving into this bitterness, it says we're falling short of the grace of God. We're becoming, the word, I looked up like a biblical dictionary. What does bitterness mean? And it said, you become polluted. You become, it says, unhealthy. I think it means unhealthy spiritually, but I think it can even affect your natural health too. And you become unfit. What does that mean? Well, sometimes you're unfit to do a certain job. You're not trained to do it. You're not ready to do it. And for us spiritually, we're supposed to be those that are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to be representing him well. Well, let me tell you this much. If you have a root of bitterness, you're not going to be able to represent him properly. You're missing. You're going to be separated from the grace of God. It says you're going to have fallen short of his grace. So how does bitterness start? And I think there's more than one way. But one way is, often you've been hurt, or you feel like you've been taken advantage of in some way. You've been misused, or maybe abused. You've been hurt in some way. And this feeling of hurt can be, could have been done intentionally by someone, or even unintentionally, not on purpose. And this last one is a hard one, but I think it can sometimes even be imagined. Now, if you're the person who's struggling with it, that's a very hard one to accept. That it could actually be in your own mind. Nevertheless, you might have a tough time seeing that one, but definitely it can actually be because someone intentionally hurt you or even unintentionally hurt you or did something to you. And because of that, how we respond to that will affect whether or not this hurt becomes bitterness. So the way we respond to it is, I think, really important. Another thing I think that can lead to bitterness is that sometimes it's not a specific person or event, but sometimes in our own minds, we have a plan for maybe how our life should go. And if it doesn't go according to our own ideas or plans, we can become bitter or frustrated. We can become a bitter person. And I think it says in Proverbs, it talks about how the heart knows its own bitterness. So there is something deep within. If we're willing to really question and say, Lord, is there any root of bitterness in me? Is there anything that's causing me to become bitter? The Lord will show it. But if we walk in that for a while, it will become very evident to those nearby us. There's certain fruit that will be made manifest from the root, right? Every root has something that's growing on top of it, and that's often what you and I can see. But the root is underground. And so we want to be careful of bitterness. So what is the fruit of bitterness? How would we self-diagnose? How do we find out if we have any bitterness in us? And the one thing is, if somebody has done something to us, is often, if we're bitter toward that person, we're going to become very critical of that person. We're going to become fault-finding. We're going to start to see and focus on all their shortcomings and all their problems, and we're going to be really quick at pointing them out. And we're going to be looking for them. And guaranteed, if you look for them, the devil's going to help you find them, because nobody's perfect. But that's one way. If you're like really critical of someone or looking at their problems, there's a good chance that you might have some bitterness toward that person. So this is one way we can self-diagnose. Another way is sometimes a bitter person, if the wrong situation happens, they snap. And all of a sudden, they get really angry or hostile quickly. And so it's another way we can self-diagnose. If that's a characteristic that we just kind of, boy, so we just come, boom, we just boil over quickly. Sometimes there's a root of bitterness underneath that. A third one is, and I think this one ties into not somebody hurting us, but life not going as planned. Things are not unraveling the way we'd like them to go in our life. Is that it's impossible really to have bitterness in our heart and a genuine, humble submission to God's providence in our lives. Acknowledging that, you know what, God, you're in control. You're allowing things to happen in my life. Lord, you're over all. You're the Lord of all. If there's bitterness in our heart, man, things aren't going, this is not how I want. Oh, things aren't going the way I want. We're not really submitting and humbling ourselves that, you know what, God, you're in control. It's almost the opposite of loving God and trusting that he works all things together for my good. It's the opposite. We get bitter. Oh, another thing's not going the way I wanted. This, I didn't plan it this way. And there's this bitterness. There's this tension within. Another thing is some people, we know we should be thankful. And sometimes we can just say it, but does it really come from within? Are we genuinely thankful? Because if we're bitter, genuine thankfulness and bitterness are not going to spring from the same heart. And so I guess we can look inside and say, like, am I genuinely thankful? Or do I just have to put it on and say the right things? Or is it from within? Am I genuinely thankful? And so, once again, I'm sharing these things because how do we do a self-diagnosis? What kind of things do we see in our life? Are we critical? Do we get hostile or angry in certain situations? It's just, it's out of proportion. I mean, yes, we all know that the flesh can get tempted to be angry. And not all anger is sin. But is it unproportional? Something's not balanced correctly. Are we lacking that genuine thankfulness? Are we having trouble accepting the circumstances that God, in his almighty control, has allowed to come into our path? Are we seeing it as, man, it's just causing us to get frustrated? I would suggest that these are indications that there's a root of bitterness. Another characteristic, I think you could say this way, is the person who is caustic. It's just a toxic person to be around, right? We don't want to be that way. What is the root of that? There's a root of bitterness in there, and we don't want it. And it's a cancer that will spread. It will spread in our homes because it's going to affect what's coming out of our mouth. What kind of home do we have? Are we critical of others? Are we putting them down? Sometimes we can be pointing out all the problems around us, other churches, other families, other people. We can see all these other problems. That's not what we want in our home. It will spread. So our own bitterness will spread to our loved ones right in our house. And it will also spread in the church. And so if we take care of it before it spreads in our home, we won't have to deal with it in the church. Right? This is something we want to be on guard of. We don't want to have bitterness in our hearts. Believe me, bitterness will defile you and it will spread to others. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews 12? It says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It doesn't end with you. You're not just hurting yourself by holding on to this hurt or this struggle or frustration or whatever it might be. It's going to hurt those around you as well. Okay, so that's kind of one way to self-diagnose. Guaranteed, if you ask the people closest to you, they're going to probably know too, because they'll see it coming up. It'll be bubbling up in different ways. There'll be fruit from the root. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And while we're turning there, I want to acknowledge that sometimes the things we've been hurt by, that feeling of hurt in and of itself was not necessarily sin. Some people may have genuinely misused you or hurt you, and that's a legitimate feeling. That's not the problem. But it's how we deal with the hurt that can cause the bitterness. Sometimes it's a legitimate thing. I can still remember this one time. A specific person said something to me, and it hurt. I didn't say a word after. But the next day, a different brother who heard it acknowledged what was said and came to me and said, how are you doing with that comment? Because he knew it hurt. You know what? That was helpful in my healing because they realized that it hurt. So nothing had gotten said to the brother who'd said it, but another brother who'd heard it came and just acknowledged that it hurt. But it helped me to realize, you know what? Yeah, I am hurting. That comment hurt, that cut. And it wasn't right what they said. What was said was wrong. It was the wrong way. It wasn't love the way it was said. But it helped to be able to forgive. And so let's not forget, I just want to acknowledge that the hurt that can lead to the bitterness can, in and of itself, is not always sin. It's like, no, they actually, what they did to me was sin, and it did hurt, but how do we deal with it? That's the important part. That's the part we're responsible for. We're not responsible for what other people do to us. We can't help that. We can't control that. But how we respond to it is up to us. Anyways, let's look in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, I'm going to read a few verses here. Starting in verse 25, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. It says, be angry and do not sin. It seems like it's possible to be angry and not sin. Jesus got angry. But he was never angry because of what people did to him. He was angry when people turned his father's house into a den of thieves. He was angry in those situations, but not because of what they did to him. But I think even in those situations, we have to be careful to not let the sun go down on our anger. We don't want to continue to feed and dwell on those things that make us angry, because it will give place to the devil. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, I kind of see a few things there. If we have bitterness, chances are things are going to come out of our mouth, which ought not. Corrupt words will come out of our mouth. Right? It's not going to bring grace to those around us because it's not from grace. Our tongue and our words are not seasoned with grace. Right? And when we do so, we grieve the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. Right? And so we're falling short. So what do we have to do? It says, let all bitterness be what? Put away. How are we going to put away bitterness? This is the key, right? If we self-diagnose that we have a problem, what's the solution? What is the cure for the cancer that could potentially spread in our home and our church? What's the cure? It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Here, I think, is the key, especially when somebody has hurt us. We can choose to go to God and say, God, I have a problem. I've been hurt. Right? What am I going to do? Lord, I need you to help me to forgive this person, whether they did it on purpose or not on purpose. Lord, do I have a heart of mercy? Lord, put a heart of mercy in me. I want to be merciful just as you are merciful. You found me when I was in my worst state, and yet you were willing to die for me. When I was doing things is totally against God, he was willing to send his son to die for me. Lord, give me that heart of mercy toward this person who maybe intentionally, that's even harder. Unintentionally, well, that's hard, but intentionally hurt me, and they haven't yet come and acknowledged it. But Lord, put this heart of mercy within me, Lord, that I'm not seeking to see their downfall, but Lord, that I'm wanting you to ultimately have mercy upon them as well. Lord, that should be in our heart, right? A heart of mercy toward others, even those who have hurt us. Lord, put this in me. So we got to acknowledge it, but then we got to go to God and say, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, work in my heart. Get this bitterness out. And Lord, help me to be able to forgive. And one of the reasons, or one of the ways we can do that, it says, is to reflect upon what God has done for us. Right? He who's been forgiven much is going to be able to then love much, but also be able to forgive. Right? So it's the parable of the unforgiving servant. When we see what God has done for us, that he's taken the ultimate consequence and eternal damnation is what we deserve. He took that for us so that we could be forgiven. It helps us to be able to forgive others because in light of that, it's much smaller. And so we need to be willing and ready and able to forgive others. And I was thinking, this is not easy. When Jesus went to Calvary, that was not easy. But he did it for a purpose because of the joy set before him. His joy was that many sons and daughters would come to glory. But let me also say this, that when you and I are willing to say, God, help me to forgive this person who has done something wrong to me, they've maybe even intentionally hurt me, Lord, help me to be able to be ready to forgive. I want to forgive them and I want to have a heart of mercy toward them because they themselves are in need of your mercy. Lord, that's going to be painful. You're going to have a taste of Calvary yourself. What Jesus went through was painful, and what you're going to go through to be willing to forgive others in that situation is going to be painful. Does that make sense? You're going to have a little taste of what he went through as well. And so I want to also say this, though. He did it for the joy set before him. You know what? There's going to be a joy available to you when we're willing to let go of the hurt and the pain. In other words, the bitterness that can come. We're willing to say, Lord, take this from me. Give me a willingness to let go of holding on to this and actually start to have a heart of mercy toward them. There's going to be some pain, but there's going to be a joy that will come as well because bitterness and joy don't go together. But when that bitterness robs us of the joy and the life that we can have. And so I want to encourage us this morning to take this seriously. Even, remember, even if the person intentionally hurt you, we need to go to God and say, God, help me to be able to forgive. And it's important to know that the devil doesn't give up. Once the Lord helps you to forgive, the devil is very quick. It doesn't take much, and it's just a small something that can come about, a little trigger in our mind, a little word maybe from the same person or somebody reminding you of what that person has done, or another thing that maybe that person hurt somebody else now. And boom, the devil wants to bring it all back. He doesn't give up, but God is greater. He's able to help us. Once again, no, Lord, I have forgiven him, and I'm going to continue to forgive. And Lord, I want you to be merciful toward him. Lord, help that person to come to see that they need you, and Lord, that your grace is available for them. That should be our heart. I'm going to let Joel come up.